So I've been working on my authorization service, and it's totally sweet. It's only taken me 6 months to build it. Just 6 months. I started implementing some basic RBAC library, but that wasn't enough, obviously. So I designed relationship-based fine-grained authorization for the highest security possible. And then, to make it super fast, I used a GPU tower, running in my mom's basement, of course, connected via optic cable to bare metal server at my local esports lounge, permissions, restrictions, and admin. Nailed it.
Wait. Whatever you did sounds cool, but like, there's also another option.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with permit.io. Permit is the full-stack authorization platform created so you never have to build permissions again. Build and manage permissions for any application with policy as code, APIs, developer-friendly SDKs, and user-facing UIs. Permit is an end-to-end authorization platform built on top of open-source policy engines. It's high-performing, gets decisions in less than 10 milliseconds, and uses a hybrid approach where config is in the cloud, but data and decisions are made locally. Not only is it intuitive, it lets you implement fully functional authorization in 5 minutes, not 6 months, and in the code base you prefer. Check out the link in the show notes or go to permit.io to learn more. That's permit.io. Sign up for Permit and stop rebuilding auth.
Once the customers are onboarded, right, their request comes from left, right, and center. Every customer adds requirements, and we carefully evaluated, okay, some of them are very long-term things. We are not ready to implement that. But whatever things, it's a basic must-have in the product for at that stage of the product, we just went ahead and implemented it. We built the product in the last 6 years along with the customers. We have a site called feedback.document360.com where our customers and trial users, they can all come and feed their inputs. As of today, it got some 1,400 requests waiting. Our roadmap is pretty much sorted. I am Saravana Kumar, founder and CEO of Document360.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Like 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do next.
Took
many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a pain.
Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart. And today, how Saravana Kumar is giving you a way to serve yourself and build, share, and manage your knowledge base. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Saravana Kumar is from India, near Chennai, but moved to London 23 years ago. He loves to play badminton and is very into high-quality cars. One of his favorite things to do is to engage in interesting conversations on social media, which there are ample opportunities to do. Outside of Indian food, he enjoys Chinese and Mexican, of which all three he cited having good options in London. In past projects, Saravana encountered the need to build a knowledge base for a different product, and one that had the flexibility to serve his unique needs. After he couldn't find it, he encouraged his team to build something during a hackathon, which validated the product idea and led him to want to take it further. This is the creation story of Document 360.
Document 360, at a very high level, it's a self-service knowledge base. You might visit a lot of product knowledge bases. Say, for example, Amazon. You might want to look at how do you return your product, how do you track your things. And those pages in a website is called more like a for end customer. It's self-service knowledge base. And Document 360 serves as a platform for customers to build those self-service knowledge bases. Companies used to self-build themselves in the past. These days, it comes mostly out of customer support products. But we found a gap where some of the advanced requirements, once you have a team of 5-10 people working on your knowledge base, like a lot of tools in the market is not suitable for it, and that you need something like knowledge base as a like Document 360. User guides and marketing collaterals and this and that can also all be living in Document 360. I introduced myself as a founder CEO of Document 360, but in reality, we have an umbrella company, a parent company called Kowei.co. We have four products, and Document 360 is one of the products. We've been in the business for nearly 13 years now, and the first 7 years, we were building other two products, and we found when we wanted to write a product knowledge base for those products, that's when we identified a gap in the market. And then we started building Document 360. I even know exactly when. In the 1st of Jan 2018 is when we wrote the first line of code. Slightly over 6 years, and we crossed the 6 years now. That's the backstory of Document 360.
Let's dive into the MVP of Document 360. So that first version of the product you built, how long did it take to build, and what sort of tools were you using to bring it to life?
What happened was around 2017, mid of 2017, we started looking for a knowledge-based product in the market. I was evaluating like what's available, and that's where so there is a gap. At one end of the spectrum, it's you get knowledge bases from customer support products like Zendesk, Freshdesk, Intercom, and those kind of customer support products. And the problem with those things is, for them, the knowledge base is only a small module in a bigger ecosystem, because their core problem is a ticketing system or chat system, things like that. Knowledge base plays a small role just as a supporting role. So they miss out on a lot of features what a typical mid-sized company will require. On the other end of the spectrum are like really complicated legacy products. Like it's called component-based knowledge base. So Adobe FrameMaker and a bunch of other products comes under that category, and there is nothing in the middle ground. That is when I identified the problem. Actually, I was in Seattle that time attending one of the Microsoft conferences, and that is when I spotted this. During the conference week, I just documented everything like in terms of how a knowledge-based product should look like for a modern digital age companies. And the moment I came back, I just asked the entire team to stop working on everything. At that time, we had about 35 engineers on the company. And we stopped all of them to work, stop working on everything else. And we did a 2 weeks hackathon. All the ideas what I documented, we just put a hackathon. Within 2 weeks, we had like the MVP version. And that I won't call it as an MVP, it's a V1, and just to validate our idea whether that can be done. And then we scrapped that one and then took some bits and pieces of that, and then we created the V1 of the product in Jan 2018. Yeah, that is how the origin story of how we ended up building Document 360.
With any MVP, with any early version of a product, even a hackathon MVP, you've got to make certain decisions and trade-offs where you learn specific things from building it. Tell me about some of those things that you learned, and maybe those pieces that you took with you, and some of the decisions and trade-offs you had to make, and how you coped with them.
We thought, okay, what will the MVP product look like? And since we are the customers ourselves, we know exactly what needs to be done to address our pain point at that point in time. So what we've done is like today, the product got so many offerings like private knowledge base, mixed knowledge base, and SSO, and enterprise security, and this and that. But the V1 of the product, we just stick to only a public-facing knowledge base. How best can we do it? All you need is a bunch of articles needs to be published online, and the search to be very good to find out that those articles. So that's all like we did, took it as a V1 in the product. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com. This episode is sponsored by Cashfly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cashfly comes in. Cashfly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cashfly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cashfly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 TB CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Let's move forward then. So you've got the MVP, the V1, it's working. How have you progressed and matured the product from there? And I'm curious about how you built your roadmap and what what sort of criteria you were looking at to decide, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with Document 360.
We went to the market very quick. It took us only like 6 months for us to build a stable V1 product, and then that was solving a public-facing knowledge-based problem. And then we went to the market. Once we were able to acquire customers straight away, it didn't take us months to get the customers. I think within the first month after launching, we managed to get the customers coming one by one. Once the customers are onboarded, right, their request comes from left, right, and center. Every customer adds requirements, and we carefully evaluated, okay, some of them are very long-term things. We are not ready to implement that. But whatever things it's a basic must-have in the product for at that stage of the product, we just went ahead and implemented it. We built the product in the last 6 years along with the customers. We have a site called feedback.document360.com where our customers and trial users, they can all come and feed their inputs. And that got today, as of today, it got some 1,400 requests waiting. Our roadmap is pretty much sorted. Only 2 weeks ago, I told the team, blindly go and implement everything that got more than 100 words. You don't even need to think because those pain points are heavy. You don't spend a lot of time on putting the roadmaps on, just go build it blindly, like anything that got 100 words and up.
Okay, so here you referring to your team and talking about your teammates. Tell me how you built that team. And what do you look for in those people to indicate that they are the winning horses to join you?
The basic thing what we are looking for in anybody is the passion towards whatever the role they are performing. If you're an engineer, if you're a developer, how passionate you are about solving the problem. Because in a field like us, your past experience or what you have learned doesn't matter that much, because somebody might come and say, hey, I'm very good C# developer, or I'm very good Java developer. Okay, that's only good to some extent because things are changing drastically. And if you see how passionate you are, how willing you are to learn and adapt to new technologies and new changes, that is one thing we constantly evaluate. And the other criteria we use once people are on board and constantly evaluating, I personally feel people should have both skill and will. Sometimes what happens is you might have very skillful, but the willingness to engage in the product or a willingness to work with the team is not there. That doesn't work. And the vice versa is also true. Somebody will be very enthusiastic and they wanted to work, but if the skill level is capped out, you can't do much about it. a lot of times you might have find the best in terms of the technology or whatever the background, but sometimes you may not fit that person within the team because the teams will have like a defined culture. We make sure that whoever we are hiring can feed seamlessly into the team. At a different level, the more you go higher up, for example, people who are reporting to me, one of the things I will look out for is like whether I'm happy to work with that person on a day in, day out basis, because it's more than a lot of times the discussions are much bigger than your day-to-day problems. You need to have that kind of a chemistry, personal connect, and openly comment and not go on a defensive mode. What will this person think? I don't know. If I ask tough questions, will he leave? Those kind of things shouldn't come on my mind. So I, at the top level, I make sure that chemistry is there and I can question and I can boldly ask certain things.
This episode is sponsored by CashFly. The web is a competitive place. And if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where CashFly comes in. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, CashFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only CashFly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5-terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password? No, didn't know there was one. Do you know how to code? No. Do you know how to query data? Like, ask a question? I guess not. I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye. Don't be left out of the Analytics Club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Let's flip to scalability then. This will be interesting given what you're building, the tons of information that is stored in a system like this and processing it. Did you build this to scale efficiently from day one? And maybe this is post-hackathon, right? But scale efficiently from day one. Or are there any interesting areas where you've had to fight it as you grow?
It's a combination of both. I think that from the day one, it was very clear we are building a multi-tenant SaaS application. So its scalability need to be thought through right from day one. In fact, the first set of guidelines or the statement I gave for the team is, whatever you are building, think about there are at least 100,000 people using that feature. How will it work? Maybe something very trivial. If there's a big difference between the trivial feature used by 10 people and the same feature used by 100,000 people simultaneously. So from day one, the thought process was embedded into the team, and every feature what they think is basically they thought through, and then you know, like everything takes time. You can only plan so much. The scalability factors is a continuous battle for any SaaS companies. Maybe not people are talking about it openly. Outages, for example, will come due to some scalability issues. Maybe the number of concurrent DB connections is we ran out of it. It's an ongoing battle, and every time you think what is best architecture for that point in time, you build it and you do it. And maybe 1 year down the line, the technology also moved up and you might have a better offerings now. Maybe it's a cost effective and much more scalable. So it's a continuous iteration process of evolving it. But as we scale, like it's a continuous learning, and we continuously keep optimizing it. one of the other decisions we have made right in the beginning is to be fully running on Microsoft Azure, and none of our services are, we don't have any VMs, for example. So everything is more like a platform as a service offering. Things like serverless, like functions and those kind of things, which are very highly scalable. So those decisions were made right at, from day one, because we didn't discuss much about the background. Like, I come from a technical background. So I've been in this tech industry for over 25 years now. I started my career back in 97. So I've done some really deep tech implementations in my career, and that's helping significantly to cut out all this technology challenges what we will see.
So Saravana, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built, what are you most proud of?
I think the foremost will be the team I have built, because today we are close to 300 people. So I started as a single founder. I just started from my living room alone. And from there to today, in 13 years, I've managed to build that team. That is really I'm proud of, because in this 13 years, I've seen, all these people joining as a graduate and just out of as an intern from the university. And then they have, they bought their first motorbike and then the car, and then they built the house and they got married, they got kids. That is a really proud moment. The number of people you can influence, that is how I see it. There's a small contribution we can make. If you look at it, 300 people, and if you put together their immediate family, so you're supporting a small ecosystem of something like 12 to 1500 people are relying on what you have built and what you are doing. That is biggest satisfaction for me. And the second thing, of course, building a product and a world-class product. Really, I'm very passionate about it. I feel myself as a more like a creator. Like when you create something, when it's used by thousands of users, that is another level of satisfaction. Every time, I use the products every day, like Document 360, I use it every day for my own, a lot of my personal things. And I keep tweaking it. Like it's a continuous iteration and improvement. And, those are a lot of positive things on running and scaling the company.
So let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
Certainly a lot of hiring mistakes you have done over the years. But I learned through that experience now is you're never going to run it 100% right. The interview process, you can only figure out something over a period. Once somebody joins, that is an ongoing thing for any founder. And that is one thing. And the other mistakes, I said that we as a Coway.co, Document 360 is one product, and we have four products now. We have built something like 7 or 8 products in the history of the company. So, of course, we killed a few products as well. I think the one best quote I keep reminding myself is, don't build things you can't sell, and don't sell things you can't build. Both of them are true. Sometimes you will be able to build a very good product, but you will not have the capacity to sell it. And the flip side, you may be able to sell something, but if the product is not good, it will come and bite you. And, in a couple of instances, we took the wrong bet. We took something bigger than what we can chew. And then halfway through, we realized it's not the problem what we can solve with 50 or 100 people company. You might need a bigger bandwidth. I still see people making those mistakes. I'm going to build a Slack alternative, right? It sounds good. You need a lot of bandwidth and energy to build something like that. So you need to pick up the problems, what is suitable for you to solve. Those are really good lessons what you learned.
Let's flip to the future. This will be exciting. Tell me what the future looks like for your product and for your team.
We feel like we are scratching the surface. It's a six-year-old product. The product is super matured now, Document 360. And if you look at it, it's a very horizontal product. We were surprised, the type of customers we are acquiring. One side, we are acquiring customers, really enterprise customers like Yahoo and Netflix and G2 and VMware, that kind of thing. And the other side, we acquire customers like construction company and some schools and universities. And so that is a really exciting place for us to be in. And also, you're dealing with the worldwide market as well. For Document 360 alone, we are about 1,400 customers. And I personally feel like we are only scratching the surface. The product, we are seeing we can build up some adjacent areas which are relevant to knowledge management. And I feel like there's a bit of legacy in this area. A lot of things are not touched for a very long time. If For example, the new AI innovation, just like it's the best place for a knowledge-based product to be, because everything comes down to content, and then the AI and content play a major part. So there's a lot of exciting things happening. So in all aspects, like we see, it's an exciting time for the next few years with the product and the company.
Let's flip to you, Saravana. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
I come from India, and I know people, I don't know whether there's a Freshworks, people come across Freshworks, and his founder, Girish, is a good friend of mine. We started pretty much similar time frame, but he has scaled the company all the way to 10 billion market cap, IPO'd it, and then close to $1 billion in revenue. It all happened within 12 years time, and he's somebody I can actually pick up the phone and speak. So definitely he comes on the number one list, like in terms of who I'm looking to. Probably there's so many founders, really exciting founders. They have done so many things. There is something in India called SaaS Bhumi. I'm part of it. All the top founders are inside that group, and we bounce ideas. And there's a lot of people I can get inspirations from. In a similar way, somebody living in UK and being in London, there is another community called SaaS Talk. It's one of the biggest SaaS B2B conferences and a community here run by, again, he became a close friend now. It's called Alex. Yeah, there's a lot of inspirations from there as well. So yeah, I think it's a really good ecosystem out there.
So we talked about a mistake earlier, but this is a little different spin. If you could go back to the beginning, what would you do different? Or where would you consider taking a different approach? Doesn't have to be something that didn't work. Maybe it worked really well, but you'd probably tweak it a little bit.
I'll probably pay attention to forming a really high-performing team from day one. At the end of the day, if you have a really strong team and you can really solve majority of the problems. So maybe in my case, what happened was it was just organically growing stage by stage. Like I was a single founder, and then I scaled to 5 people, and then 20 people, and 50 people. And then it's a long journey. But only in the last few years, we went aggressive and we are hiring like the top talents. And then we understand what difference the really right people can make. If I'm flipping it, if I'm starting all over again, the first thing I will do is take a step back and then say, okay, pick that 5 people you really want, who will be your direct reports, who can run the business, is what I will look for. Maybe I will focus on hiring those 5 people and then start all over again, because they then can go and build the team what required, and it's a ripple effect, right? A players hire A players, and B and C players hire downstream, which is not going to work. That is one thing I will correct if I'm doing it again.
Okay, last question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world, and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
Be prepared to be persistent, and because there is nothing called overnight success. A lot of people think it's overnight success. Anything you make like a success story, it's at least 7 years. Can you live with this problem for 7 years? Is a question you need to ask yourself. Because a lot of times what happens is people pick up a problem, it's too small. After 6 months, you get bored and then you jump on to the next problem. That is not going to work. If you're really excited, you think you're going to jump and solve this problem, make sure you can live with that problem, that every day it will excite you for next 7 to 10 years. It's a question you need to ask yourself. And if you think yes, then you go for it. Otherwise, take a step back and think deeper. Is this the problem you want to solve? Similar to you're trying to climb a mountain, and after climbing, you reach the peak, but there's nothing more to go. That's the position you wanted to avoid, because you cannot come back and you still need to live with that, and it's not big enough for you. That is something very important, that piece of advice I'll give you in that situation.
That's excellent advice. Well, Saravana, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Document 360.
Thank you very much, Noah, for having me on the show. Really enjoyed the conversation.
And this concludes another chapter of Coat Story. Coat Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.